morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. And I hope everybody has a very happy Mother's Day today on this rainy day. We need the rain, though, so I guess we can't complain too much about that. Do we have any announcements this morning?
We need to have a short session meeting between church and Sunday school, just for a few minutes. Thank you.
Any other announcements?
Here, we will have men's breakfast next Saturday morning. Even though the lodge is having their fry, we'll have breakfast first. So.
Children or youth, from those who are now in third grade through those who are now seniors in high school, are interested in camps, we have registration forms out on the bulletin board, or you can talk to me about it.
Karen. I just want to thank everybody for all your help and generosity, everything you've done for us. It's just, oh my goodness, I don't think I've ever felt so much love from a church, and how precious you all are, very sweet and dear to us.
Amen.
So thank you.
We're just glad that you are here. That's good. Any other announcements? I want to just mention, I know we have some high school graduates and schools graduate at different times, but I think Lauren Linder graduates next Friday.
All right.
Congratulations to you, Lauren. Any other announcements? No? Okay. If not, let's take a moment to pause to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord as we light the candles this morning. Have any prayer concerns this morning?
Mama might
have their homeless prayer. Okay, that's good. Any other prayer concerns? I have a coworker, and her husband's name is Brian Williams, and he had pneumonia but didn't know it, and it caused his lung to collapse, and they had to do surgery, remove part of his lung and try to repair the damage, but he's kind of been in a coma state for about a week, and there's not been much improvement. So prayers for that family, the Williams family. Any other prayer concerns?
Let us pray. Father, we come to you now. And we thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. For the opportunity, Lord, to worship you together and to glorify your name. Lord, we lift you up today and we praise you for all your goodness. And, Father, for all the many blessings, the great and precious promises that you have bestowed upon us. And, Father, we've come to this place to worship you in spirit and truth. And we ask you to lead us in that, Father, that we may... That we may have ears to hear, eyes that are open. Father, that your Spirit would truly be able to deal with us in every way that we need to be dealt with. And Father, we pray for your tender mercies to overshadow us. And Father, for the revelation of your word. Lord, for everyone that was lifted up in prayer this morning, Father, we ask, Lord God, for your continued watch and care over them. Father, that you would continue to bring forth those works of healing. And for each and every one that's on our prayer list that we didn't mention this morning, but Lord, they're there, and we continue to pray for them. And we know that we just add our prayers together with all of those that are praying and ask, Lord God, that you would continue to meet every need. You continue to show yourself strong, and that we would be able to tell of your wonderful praises, Father. Give glory to your name for all your mighty works. And we thank you, Lord, for you are truly gracious and kind. We give you all praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Now help us, Lord, to pray as your disciples the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Her strength and her dignity clothe her with beauty. In works of her hands she excels. A heart of compassion she turns to the needy. In service to others she gives of herself.
Join me for a call to worship. Sing to God a new song, for God has done marvelous things.
Praise God.
Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth, for God is still doing marvelous things.
Praise God.
Break into joyful song.
We will sing praises to God.
If you'll turn to page 85.
Thank you.
Our call to confession. God, your powerful love for this world continues to astound us. In these last days of Easter, we gather to recall the love that brought Jesus into this world and into our lives. As Savior, friend, and brother, we thank you for welcoming us into your household, for trusting us and loving us. Our prayer of confession is in silence. Words of assurance. Long ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from God. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus speaks these words to us today. Jesus forgives us and chooses us to be his friends, sharing his great work of love. Hallelujah. Pour your spirit upon these gifts. Send them into the world as a sign and song of your joyous work in love. If our ushers would please come forward.
Gather his children. children together as a mother hen gathers its chicks. And we just think of that example, dear Lord. And we see all of these times throughout history how we children of you have been disobedient, and yet you've shown us this patience, and you've shown us that there's nothing we can do that would make you love us any less. And dear Lord, we see that same thing in the mothers of children. We see how you've instilled that Christ-like character in them. There's nothing their child can do that would make them love them any less. And you put that patience and that unconditional love into their heart. No wonder, dear Lord, they're called blessed, for they've taken on that character of you. And we come this morning just thanking you. We thank you for mothers and this Christ-like love that they have for their children and this example that they set for us all. But we come praising you, dear Lord, for never giving up and showing us that unconditional love. And let us now express our thanks to the giving of these tithes and gifts. Please accept them for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children's time with Miss Mary Jo. So, all the children, if you want to come forward.
Good morning, everyone. I tell you what, we're going to have to start doing. We got to pray for the children to come. No, I was right. We got to pray for the children to come.
Yeah.
What's that the movie? If you feed them, they will come? Yeah. Okay, so we got to do something here.
It's Mother's Day.
And we're going to start out this morning. I brought a picture with me this morning. And this is a picture of my mother. And my mother's with Jesus now. She's smiling down at us this morning. And you know what my mother loved? You hear me say? I love you. mom or mama. I call her mother. I think that's the generation or something. And I know she loved to hear me say that. But she also liked to, for me to behave and mind her and do whatever she asked me to do. Do you remember a few Sundays ago when we played Simon Says? Does anybody remember how to play Simon Says? All right, we're going to play Mom Says. Now you have to, and we're going to pretend we're doing things. Okay, when I say Mom Says, that means we're supposed to do it. If I just say it, that means we don't do it, okay? All right, we're going to pretend. Mom says, pick up your toys. Throw them in the closet. Oh, we didn't do it. Very good. Mom says, eat your lunch.
I don't like that.
No, we don't do that, do we? Okay. Mom says, help with the dishes. Take the trash out. What if Mom said take the trash out? We'd do it, wouldn't we? Well, that's what Jesus wants us. Don't you think Jesus wants to hear us say, I love you? And doesn't Jesus want us to obey him and listen to his word? That's what we need to do. We need to remember Jesus loves us and we love Jesus. And he wants us to obey, just like our moms want us to obey. All right, Miss Melanie, do we have a song? And then I have a special treat for you to take your mom this morning.
I think that we'll sing Jesus Loves the Little Children, but we're going to change it to Jesus Loves All the Moms.
Okay.
Great. You did let him sing too. Okay.
Let's see if I can do this.
All right. This morning we're reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire and into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." It's the reading of God's Word. This event that happened in the life of Jesus is very interesting, and he's talking, the way he addresses the issue when they come to him and ask him to do this because his disciples were not able to cast the demon out. And he says in verse 17, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation." And he doesn't just stop there. He says, "How long shall I pray for you? How long shall I put up with you?" Wow. I mean, it's almost as though Jesus expected that they should do this. It's almost that it almost sounds like he expected that healing was not that big a deal. That you should be able to do that. You should know how to pray about that and expect that healing would come. I mean, think about it. "I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." And he says, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." When are you going to get it? He must be talking about his disciples. How long is it going to be? How long is it going to take for you guys to get it? I mean, our God is such an awesome God. And I think sometimes we forget how awesome He is. That the things that we think are mountains are not really mountains to Him. The things that we think are unmovable are not unmovable at all to Him. The things that we think, "Oh, we're just going to have to settle for that," are not things that don't mean anything to God. They're things that are very changeable, things that can be moved, things that can be healed and put back together and made right. And sometimes I think what Jesus may be expressing here is this sort of feeling that when are you going to get it? That the God that you're praying to is almighty and that He honors your faith, that He does answer prayer. This morning I want us to talk again about prayer. Not just about prayer, but prayer and fasting. We were talking about persistence in prayer last week. We were talking about something we call intercessory prayer. We're talking about that again this week. But this issue of fasting is important for us to look at. You think, what about the Mother's Day sermon, preacher? Well, it's not really a Mother's Day sermon, but I will say this. When I look back on my years of growing up, there are about three or four times three or four definite times where I probably should have died or been arrested, incarcerated, okay? And God's grace and mercy was there. And I look back on my growing up days, and I know that my dad and my mom prayed every day. I know that. Because as a kid, most nights, they would call me into their room, and one would kneel down on one side of the bed, and one would kneel down on the other side of the bed, and then we kneeled wherever else we wanted to kneel. And they led us in prayer. We all prayed. And if they didn't do that, if they put us in bed, then they made sure we said our prayers. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul keep. If I should die, I thought it was a Hebrew word or something. If I should die. I didn't know what it meant. But I prayed every night. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. That was my prayer. And sometimes mom put me in the bed and I'd pray that prayer and then I'd be laying in the bed and I'd hear them in the room. And I knew they were down on their knees, one on one side of the bed, one on the other. And I'd hear them praying. And they'd pray for me, they'd pray for my brother, they'd pray for lots of different family members. Prayed every day. But I also knew this. While Dad, I'm sure, has breathed my name in prayer every day of my life, Mama prayed often. Mama was the intercessor prayer warrior. I mean, she spent much time in prayer as moms do. And I know that those times that I didn't experience what I should have gotten was probably a result of my mom's prayers. As well as my dad's. I don't want to put one person's prayers ahead of the other. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that the prayers of both parents, of the man and the woman, the husband and the wife praying together, are stronger. That they are powerful prayers. Anytime we're praying together, it's a strong prayer. And so I do give praise and glory and thank God. I give thanks for my mom and for her prayers and for all of your prayers as well for your children and for your loved ones. But as we talk about this morning, look at verse 20 again. He says, Jesus replied when the disciples said, why couldn't we cast it out? Why couldn't we get rid of that demon? You know they prayed in the name of Jesus, right? And Jesus' name is the name of all authority. Why couldn't they cast it out? And he said, because you have so little faith. Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, what's interesting is in Luke's Gospel, the same chapter, chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. And his reply to them is basically the same. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be picked up and cast into the sea, and it'll happen. Now, when I was growing up, we had a great, big, huge mulberry tree in our driveway, just beside our driveway. And, I mean, mulberries. I used to love to eat mulberries. But I mean, man, they would fall on the driveway, and man, it was a mess. Because, you know, you're driving your car over there, and you're making red tracks up and down the driveway. Raking mulberry leaves. I mean, this was a big, huge tree. It was enormous. It provided shade for that whole side of the house. Big old leaves on it. Could I imagine praying for that mulberry tree to be lifted up, cast into the sea. Man, almost seemed immovable at the time. That tree's been gone for years. It died. We had to cut it down. But here Jesus is saying to them, basically, you don't need more faith. You only need faith the size of a mustard seed. You just need to use your faith. It's a matter of developing your faith. It's a matter of just learning to believe, learning to trust, and to cast away doubt. To just put our faith in Him and to believe and trust that He's going to bring us through. That He's going to bring the answer. That He is the answer. Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved from there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, in some scriptures, they omit that. They omit verse 21. As a matter of fact, I think the NIV goes from verse 20 to verse 22 and just leaves out verse 21. It's in the King James, the New King James. It's in the New American Standard Version. It's just not in some versions. Some people go by certain Greek text, and some go by others, and so they just put a footnote in there that says this is in some Bibles and it's not in others. But I'm not taking it out. I figure, you know, why do we need to skip verse 21? Go from 20 to 22. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, Jesus, that alone lets us know that Jesus did both. He practiced both of those things. He didn't just pray, but He fasted. And when we start talking about fasting, we start talking about something that has been lost by the church in recent years. We don't do that very much. Lent. We have a 40-day period where we might give up something for Lent. And that's a time of fasting. It's important. Any type of fasting is important. I think most of the time, when fasting is mentioned in Scripture, that fasting has to do with doing without food or doing without some portions of food. Daniel, in the Old Testament, went on a fast where he did without meats and without delicacies and things of that nature, and he just had basically water and vegetables, things of that nature. And that was a fast. There are many ways that we can fast. We can fast TV, we can fast video games, we can fast radio, we can fast certain hobbies. There are a number of different things that we can fast. So oftentimes people will fast certain things that they, maybe certain TV shows, and in place of that time frame, use that for a time of prayer. There's a number of different ways that you can practice fasting. It doesn't just have to be a lack of food. But I will say this, just for safety's sake. If you're going to fast, the Jews, the way they would do it, a day was considered from sundown one day to sundown the next day. So basically, they could eat before sundown. And the last meal was usually the smallest meal. And then they would fast through the evening to the next sundown, and then they could eat after sundown another small meal. Which makes sense. One meal before you go to bed gives your body time to get back into the digestive processes, and much better than fasting through the night and then having three meals the next day. One right after the other. So, I'm giving you a few tips about maybe a proper way to fast if you were going to fast food. But what some of you might be saying, preacher, why are we talking about this? I don't want to fast. I don't want to do without. Well, wait a minute. Before you decide that you don't want to do without, let's look at what the Scripture says about what fasting does. Fasting along with prayer. Okay? What the proper fast is. Jesus talked about it in the New Testament because he talked about how that there were people in his day, religious folks, who would fast and they would sit in sackcloth and ashes. And they wouldn't get dressed properly that day. They wouldn't wash up that day. They wouldn't, you know, fix themselves up. They wanted people to know they were fasting. And they wanted to look like, you know, that they were fasting. So that people would know and they would get, you know, some kind of, so that people think they were spiritual. Okay? And so people did. A lot of people thought, man, these guys, I mean, they look like this 2 or 3 days a week. They're really spiritual. But the problem is, and was, and what Jesus knew, and what the old prophets knew, was that a lot of times their fasting was just that. But, you know, when you go without food, you can get cranky. And when they get cranky, they get mean. And they'd be mean to their servants, they'd be mean to their families. They wouldn't care anything about other people. They're just thinking about themselves. And just wanting to look spiritual. And so Isaiah chapter 58 addresses this issue of fasting. And I want you to look with me at this chapter. And our slide will start with verse 6, but I'm going to read just a few verses before that. And then we'll pick up with verse 6. Shout it aloud. And do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today, and expect your voice to be heard on high. Whoa. You cannot fast like that. You can't be mean and expect that your voice is going to be heard. You can't be selfish and self-serving and expect that your voice will be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Now when Jesus addressed this fasting thing, even though Isaiah 58 was a scripture that they would have read often, they were still fasting improperly. They were still just doing it for show. They were doing it thinking, you know, if I fast, God will do something for me, but I don't have to change the inside. I just need to fast. And he's saying, no, that's not what fasting's about at all. Now verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Man, look at that for a moment. To loose the chains, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every single yoke. You know, we're not talking about egg yolks. I've done that. I can break every single yoke. A yoke that you put on oxen, a big, heavy, wooden yoke, is what they put on oxen to make them, toe the line, to get them to go where they wanted them to go and plow the field. But think about that for a moment, because what he's saying is that people wear yokes. What happens in life is that we get burdened down with things, and we get locked into heavy loads of care and burdens and things that weigh on us and affect every part of our life. They affect our spiritual life. They affect our emotional life. Even our physical health. And Jesus talked about this. He said, "Take my yoke upon you, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's a different weight. It's a totally different thing to carry the burdens of the world, to carry the burdens of the flesh, to carry the burden of sin and guilt and shame, and to carry the burden of obedience to Christ. Way different. One's joy, one's life, one's peace and fruitfulness, and the other just leads to death. It leads to destruction. And folks, that they realized this in the Old Testament. No wonder Jesus was saying to them, "How long am I going to have to be with you? How long am I going to have to put up with all this? When's anybody going to read the Old Covenant and realize that even the Old Covenant provided for the breaking of every yoke? There's no reason that this young man had to suffer with this demon all these years. He could have been healed years ago if somebody had just prayed and interceded and believed God and trusted Him to break the yoke." And He's saying prayer with fasting brings you into a whole new level in your prayer life. And so it's important that we talk about it, that we address these issues that we talk about. We think fasting is what we call one of the spiritual disciplines. And it's something that you sort of have to discipline yourself to do. And you don't start out with, "Well, okay, preacher, you said fasting is good. I'm going on a 40-day fast." Don't do that. The only 40-day fast that are recorded in Scripture pretty well indicates that the Lord was leading for that to happen. You know, that God was leading in that direction, calling the folks that did that to those kinds of fasts. But understand how important this is. Look at what happens when we begin to think about fasting. Really, what one needs to think about is, nothing should change about your daily life as far as how you look, your appearance. You should just dress and be seen among your neighbors and friends just like any other day of the week. The only difference is when you're fasting, that is the time to do more in the area of helping people, of being loving and being kind, and being selfless. Isn't it interesting that, because when you go without food, that is when we are at our worst. That's when we are can be our crankiest. And yet, he's saying in the midst of this fasting, it's the time to undo the heavy burdens. It's the time to untie the yokes and to take them off. It's the time to break the yokes so they can never be worn again. So that you can never be under that curse again. Never be under that guilt and that condemnation again. Sometimes we say, man, you know, I pray, but this doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere. Maybe it's time to take up the spiritual discipline of fasting once again. Start with something simple. Start with a hobby. Start with something that would be something that you like to do, but you give it up for a time. Even if it's just a day. To see what God wants to do. To see how God would begin to intervene. Let me say this too about fasting. I mean, I've practiced fasting some. And, you know, you don't come off a fast and say, wow, look what God did. Most of the time, you don't see anything right away. And it causes you to wonder. All of a sudden you're thinking, man, why did I do that? Why do I even do this? Doesn't seem like anything's happening. Well, it's just like we were talking about last week, about prayer. And about the need to be persistent. And the need to be insistent. And the need to keep coming before the Lord. Because there's a testimony that's being built there. There's something that's happening because the Lord sees it. The Lord honors it. The Lord knows this person is not going to quit coming. This person is serious. This person is developing their faith in me. They believe me. They're expecting me to move on their behalf. And God says in His Word clearly, I will. I'll move. I'll answer speedily. I'll be there. In the Scripture that we read this morning, it said nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We got to keep reading. So, all right, so verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in darkness. And your night will become like the noonday. Praise God. Isn't that good? I mean, what else do I have to say? The Lord says it for all of us to hear, plain and simple, as to what He's willing to do, as to what He wants to do. He wants to move on our behalf. He wants to get involved in our affairs. And He's just providing ways for us to move closer. You're praying. Not seeing much. Well, maybe it's time to do more. He says there's another thing you can do. Add fasting to that. Add a little separating of yourself from your own things and devoting that time to God. Devoting that time to the work of ministry. Devoting that time to undoing the burdens of others. And when we begin to invest ourselves in God's kingdom in that way and to begin to give ourselves selfishly in that way. He says that's when your light's going to break forth. That's when the morning's going to dawn in your life. That's when the answer of the Lord is going to come quickly. It's going to come on you. Your healing is going to come forth speedily. Sometimes we're just... Do you remember what happened when Abraham was interceding for Lot? And the scripture talks about righteous Lot. But righteous because he believed. He believed in the God that Abraham believed in. But he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was living in that region. And the angels came to him and said, "Leave. You got to go. Fixing to destroy this place." And he just kept dilly-dallying around. Just kept sort of loitering around, you know, just there. And the angel kept saying, "You got to go. You got to get out. I mean, the Lord's serious. He's fixing to bring judgment here. You got to get out." Well, the reason that the angels came to him in the first place was because Abraham was interceding for him. Abraham had talked to the Lord, if you can find, how many was it? Was it 5 righteous or 10? Well, it was just a few people. If you can find 10 righteous folks, if there's 10 there, I won't destroy it. Well, there weren't 10. There's just Lot. But God was gracious and delivered him. The New Testament says that his righteous soul was vexed every day because of where he was living. Guys, you and I, we all live in this world. And there's a lot going on in this world that's not good. There's a lot of philosophies and little lies and deceptions that even try to work their way into the life of the church, into the life of the family of God. And you better believe that we're living in a land where our righteous souls are being vexed every day. Unless we do something about it. Unless we take the measures to move ourselves out of that place of being vexed into a place where the light of God begins to dawn on us daily. And he's saying, prayer's good, but prayer and fasting is even better. Let's continue to read. Was that verse 11? "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations and will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." I want you to notice what it said. First two words. Up until now, it's been talking about what's going to happen to us. How the light's going to dawn in our life. How our healing's going to come speedily. How God's going to minister to us. Now he says, your people. Your people. Everybody that's important to you. All your family. You're going to bring blessing on your family. Your family is going to rise up and become the people who rebuild the ancient ruins. You're changing your generations. By the way, we stand before God. By the things that we practice before God. Remember though, it is not about doing without food. It's about what you're doing when you're doing without food. It's about how you're praying when you're doing without food. It's about how you're undoing the yokes, untying the cords, breaking the yokes, setting the oppressed free, ministering to those who are hungry, those who are weak, those who can't help themselves, those who need place to put to spend the night, who need shelter. When we begin to sow our lives into the lives of those less fortunate, it's in that place of fasting, that kind of fasting, that God begins to break forth mightily. Where our people, all those people we've been praying for, believing for God to turn their lives around and bring them back to the Lord, He says, you've been investing your life into my kingdom. Now watch what I'm fixing to do to your kingdom. I'm fixing to turn your generations around. I'm fixing to turn your family line around. I'm fixing to take your people and rebuild the ancient ruins. I'm fixing to bring them and they'll raise up the age-old foundations. What does he mean by age-old foundations? He's not talking about dragging up the past. He's talking about rebuilding that which is sound doctrine. He's talking about rebuilding that which is the foundations that our lives should have been built on in the first place. He's talking about putting us firmly on the foundation of His Word, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. You will be called the repairer of broken walls. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everyone in this room, when they put our tombstone in the ground, that underneath it said, he or she was the repairer of broken walls. Wouldn't that be nice? The restorer of streets with dwellings. Hallelujah. Listen. You can go to different places in the world. You can go to different places in downtown Nashville and you can see the ruins. You can go to different communities. You can just drive across the railroad tracks in certain places and you can see the ruins. You can see where the walls are being broken down. You can see, you know, the effects of brokenness on society. There are plenty of places for us to get involved in ministry. There's plenty of people out there that need healing of their brokenness. I'm going to ask musicians to come and we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. It's entitled, I Will Serve Thee. And it's about that very thing. It's about how God heals people with broken lives, broken hearts. As we sing that this morning, obey the Spirit of God. However God may be speaking to you, if there's someone here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, step up here and give us an opportunity to pray with you. The Bible says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. Just calling on the name of the Lord. There may be other prayer needs. There may be those who God may be calling you to ministry, calling you to begin certain types of ministry through the efforts of this church. Listen, that's exactly what we want to see happen. I see a day where, you know, people are stepping up saying, you know, I want to do this, and I know we don't have this ministry in the church, but this is where my heart is. Well, let's help you get that started. Let's start that ministry. Let's get it going. We'll just empower you to do that. We'll help you. We'll get the people around you and the resources you need. Well, however God is moving on your heart and your life today, obey His call. Answer His call as the Holy Spirit moves you, as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us life. And you've provided everything that we need, Lord, to live that life of godliness, to approach your throne of grace, and to come boldly. And Father, to receive help in our time of need. Lord, we are broken, and we know people who are broken. Use us, Father, to bring the light of your gospel into their lives. And we thank you, Father, for your healing. In Jesus' name. Amen.